Welcome to the FantasyGuru.com Franchise Focus Podcast. Now here's Matt Kemp, Joe Dolan, and Tom Brawley.
And now go Chargers, go!
We'd like to thank the former governor of California and new WWE Hall of Famer, Arnold Schwarzenegger, for joining us on the Chargers podcast. And we are here. It is the Franchise Focus Podcast. Matt Kemp, Joe Dolan, and Tom Brawley, as we'll talk Chargers today as we move our way up from the bottom of the first round to the top in our Franchise Focus Podcast series, looking at, of course, the additions, the subtractions, the fantasy implications, and some draft needs for all 32 teams in advance of this year's NFL draft. And if you want to get your questions in, you can do so. Use the hashtag FranchiseFocus and send them to us at the Matt Kemp, at FG underscore Dolan, at FG underscore Brawley, at Fantasy Guru site. Maybe you've heard one of our previous podcasts and have a reaction to it, or you thought of a question after the fact. You could send those questions in as well, but maybe there's a podcast coming up that you want to learn some things about and you have a question for us. Like I said, tweet them to us. Use the hashtag FranchiseFocus. As we're rolling right along here, we also got to tell you that MLB season is in full swing, and FanDuel is changing the way people play fantasy baseball. It's more fun than ever. Don't wait another day. Sign up now to play one-day fantasy baseball at FanDuel.com. Entry fees start at just $1, and you don't have to wait 6 months to win a league. You can play today, and you can win tonight, and you can pick a brand new team any day you want, and there's no season-long commitment and no upfront fees. You can make every game exciting with FanDuel. And, you know, if you're in your various season-long leagues, Joe, you know, sometimes offenses get off to a slow start or there might be some injuries. Maybe you're a little disenfranchised with the team that you root for. FanDuel kind of takes all that stuff out of the equation. You can put together a fun lineup anytime you want.
And offense has been just complete crap in the first week of the season. But you know what that means? It means FanDuel prices really haven't had the opportunity to adjust for some of these guys you think might break out this year. If you think that breakout's coming this week, I encourage you to go sign up and win some money.
You could be like some of the people that won on opening day. How about Mark in Brooklyn, New York? He won $700 on opening day alone. So look what that can do for you. You go to FanDuel.com and you can sign up and know that they're paying out more than $2.5 million every single day this season. You go to FanDuel.com, you click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, and you use our code GURU to sign up now. The special offer from new users, for every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of up to $200. Offers only good for the first 50 people that use our code GURU. Don't forget to use our code GURU. FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. That's FanDuel.com. FanDuel.com. Sign up today. Guys, as we get into the San Diego Chargers, a pretty quiet offseason for them so far. And, you know, there was talk of maybe a change in philosophy that they would try to spend some money or throw some around for some big players. But that really didn't happen. The biggest news, and maybe it's not really news at all, is just the idea of could they be thinking ahead and with life past Philip Rivers? What is life going to be like for the Chargers after Philip Rivers? And, you know, the word trade has been thrown around Rivers, and, you know, do you want to move him now when you still can get something for him? Are they in somewhat of a rebuilding phase? 9-7 last year, tied for second. You know, Rivers, where is he at right now in his career? What would he bring back? And they have said, Tom Pelesco, I think the team has pretty much made it clear, we're not trading him. And, you know, then it's like, well, what if they got a great offer? And, oh, Mariota's getting a work out there. I mean, I get why you want to look ahead here for Rivers. And I don't think it's because of his play. I think you worry, you know, a couple years ago, was he banged up? This past season, he dealt with a pretty serious back injury. Now, it looks like he's not going to get surgery or anything major like that, but he turns 34 in December. So you start to wonder now, where is he at in his career? What kind of level is he still playing at? Is it a high level? Is he a guy that makes guys around him better? I think the change in offense in 2013 has helped him, but I think it's fair to think forward now. You know, what do we do at quarterback in maybe 3 years? You know, when you back injury here, did he have something a couple years ago? They kind of said no, but, you know, I think there was something going on there. I think it's fair to look ahead, but for now, he's coming off a season where he's the number tied for 11th in fantasy points per game, 21.8, threw for nearly 4,300 yards, 31 touchdowns, 18 interceptions, 66.5% completion percentage, threw 570 passes. Not a bad season at all. A little bit up and down. You know, Matthews was banged up. Keenan Allen was banged up at times. Ladarius Green, we'll talk about him, didn't take that step up. I mean, remember, they lost Matthews. They lost Donald Brown to a concussion. They lost Woodhead. I mean, they lost Matthews and Woodhead a couple weeks into the season. He had a lot to kind of overcome there, and a lot of other things kind of went wrong. As you said, Allen not really playing as well as he did as a rookie. You know, Eddie Royal did a fine job. Malcolm Floyd came back. But if you're looking at Rivers here, both in fantasy and reality, I mean, I think expectations are kind of where he was last year. If he's a top 12 guy, I think you're happy. But if he was more in the 15 range, you wouldn't be surprised.
I think the Chargers are in an interesting spot because they know they're going to have a shot to win or make the playoffs if Phillip Rivers is on this team. But Tom Telesco, Mike McCoy might be looking at things and saying, we don't think our roster is strong enough, and we're not entirely sure how we're going to get better in enough time to make this team a legitimate Super Bowl contender. And that's when you might think, this could be the most intriguing fit outside of Philadelphia for Marcus Mariota, because it's a team that doesn't have a perceived need at right now, but the Chargers are a club that could acquire a lot of assets, and they could do that by trading Phillip Rivers. And I pose this question, Tom. If the Chargers say, Phillip Rivers is, we're open for business, we will trade Phillip Rivers, they have the intention of going to get Marcus Mariota, what would Phillip Rivers get them? And I think the price starts very high, or else you don't trade him.
Yeah, I don't understand. I really don't get it. He's one of the 10, 12 best quarterbacks in the league at this
point. That's being conservative.
And why are they – I just don't get it. He probably has another good 3 or 4 years left. I don't understand the need to start pushing this issue. It's not like quarterbacks like Phillip Rivers are growing on trees.
He is in the last year of his contract
and the injury. I mean, of a back injury, do you wonder about how much
– I know, but he's still
– they have played –
work something out here. Get a deal done.
Their O-line has not been good. They've had to piece it together the last few years. You do wonder about that. You know, is he taking too many hits? He is certainly smart enough. He's not a speedster. He's not a guy that's great with his legs. He knows how to extend plays and move the pocket if need be. But you do worry about him taking too many hits, and does that start to catch up with him? You know, is his arm strength what it was? Probably not. Now, I think the new offense, as I talked about, the philosophy there with being more of that shorter, quicker passing offense has helped him. It's not the vertical game that they played under North Turner. You know, Malcolm Floyd and Vincent Jackson running down the field and hitting the big plays. They hit those from time to time. But, you know, look where Gates is at his career. Look where Rivers is at his career. What's going on with the backfield now?
They could feel they're in the position to refresh. And they have one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, but if they can move him to a team that has a perceived need at the quarterback position, maybe for a team that's in better shape at the other positions, you could make something happen here, especially if you're a believer in Marcus Mariota or Jameis Winston.
Doesn't this team kind of
why is this team so far away? I don't think they're that far away. They're in the play, you know.
We talked about the Bengals. Don't you kind of? I mean, are the Chargers scaring any? I don't think they scare anybody.
If I get Phillip Rivers in the playoffs, I feel like I have a chance.
Right.
I mean, I just don't get
here's,
this.
I don't see them making a run though.
Let's use some pro football.
Yeah, but what are you going to do if you trade Phillip Rivers? Take your organization back for the next 5-10 years?
Do they think that they could get a bunch for him? I mean, if you can get a haul for him.
But what are you going to do a quarterback then?
I think the asking price starts at 2 first-round picks.
And it should be.
Right, that's what I'm saying. It's got to be something that bowls him over.
I think it starts at 2 first. And when I posed this question, I almost asked it hypothetically on Twitter last week with a full intention of what I already knew what I was thinking. I think you need at least 2 first-round picks for Phillip Rivers. But then that narrows the market, because it's got to be a team that thinks it can win now but has a need at the quarterback position. And I think there's a couple teams where that may – it does not make sense, Tennessee. Tennessee does not make sense at all.
Is this because the Los Angeles talk?
I think that's part of it.
Because I just don't – you don't see any other team trying to shop a top-10 quarterback at this point.
Tennessee does not make sense to me. A couple teams that do. I think the Jets in ways make sense.
I've heard that thought.
And I think one that makes great sense, and I'm going to throw this out. Carlos put this out there to me. I think the Texans make sense. Because the Texans are picking in the middle of the first round, you add Phillip Rivers to that roster, 10, 11 win team. You've got a top 10 quarterback with the best defensive player in football, a good defense. You just re-signed Kareem Jackson, so you're good on the back end as well. You have a emerging young receiver in DeAndre Hopkins. You still have a strong run game with Foster. You have a better line than they had in San Diego last year. I think that is the fit. If a team wants to trade for Phillip Rivers, thinks, you know what? Phillip Rivers makes us a Super Bowl contender. I think the Houston Texans can say that.
Now, they were an 8-18 last year that won 8 games with 4 different quarterbacks, which is pretty impressive there on its own, and for the reasons that you mentioned. Now, the reason I think it's – you got to bowl him over. I mean, this guy's a tremendous quarterback. He's one of the best and underrated maybe probably the last 10 picks. Years. But look at the rest of the team, where they're at right now. Look at running backs. The question you said to me before we started, who's playing running back for the Chargers this year? Matthews is gone. We know how his career went. I would say mostly disappointing because he just couldn't stay on the field. Woodhead, nice job in 2013. The fibula, the ankle fractures early in 2014. He could come back to that similar role. Donald Brown was a waste of money. I don't know why he got the money that he did. He was a waste of money when they signed him.
Well, he did have to play.
At least they got some use.
But he got pretty good money to be what on that team? And they forced him to be more, and he was not good.
I think people knew that was a bad signing.
It was bad, right? 3 years, $10.5 million. And now they don't really have a choice because you have Brandon Oliver as your other back. Now, let's talk a little bit about Brandon Oliver. When we saw him step up, because I remember talking about this guy, and unfairly, because he wore number 43 and was kind of built like Sproles. Oh, we have another Sproles. He's not Sproles. He's a different player than Sproles. But he flashed in the preseason to show us something. So when Matthews went down and Woodhead got hurt and Donald Brown stunk and then got a concussion, all of a sudden it's, oh, look, here comes Brandon Oliver, and he came out hot. And he came out hot in tougher matchups. He had that great game against the Jets that we remember, one of the better run defenses in football. I mean, he got a chance right away, and he posted back-to-back 100-yard games starting week 6 through 9. Then he dipped after that, and then Matthews came back, and then Matthews went down, so Oliver was back for the final 3 games of the season, but wasn't nearly as good. Started in 7 of 14 appearances, ran 160 times for 582 yards, 3.6 yards per carry. Not very good at all. 3 touchdowns, 36, 271, and 1 on 45 targets through the air, so that boosted him there. He actually finished 28 at the position at 10.4 fantasy points per game, but he's a guy that you have to look at his game logs and when did he put up the points, what was his role. Averaged 41% of the snaps, went from 55% in the first half to just 30% in the second half. However, guys, Matthews is gone. Brown's a guy. Woodhead's got a specific role. Doesn't, as of right now, Oliver is on top of the depth chart.
He won't be by the end of the draft.
Right. Yeah. I mean, this is a key position for them.
This is one of those girly spots that but a lot of people...
If they don't end up trading up for Mariota, I think this is the team that could zero in on for Todd Gurley and a running back in the first round. Oliver, in my opinion, is a bowling ball type. I don't think he doesn't remind me of Sproles.
No.
But that was, you know, people saw him run fast and wear 43.
He's a bouncy runner in terms of – he's like a rubber ball. Like, defenders are kind of flying off. He's like a medicine ball. Like, if you go running – you ever watch YouTube videos of, little kids who just voluntarily run into people holding medicine balls? That's kind of like what Brandon Oliver is. Guys bouncing off of him. He's built low to the ground, so he has that natural balance and power.
Is he built kind of like MJD, would you say that? I think that's fair.
And as a matter of fact, I think there's some similarities to Brandon Oliver to a kid coming out in this year's draft class out of Mississippi State, a kid by the name of Josh Robinson. And if you know who Josh Robinson is, you might have watched a lot of Mississippi State this year. They were a highly ranked, very good team. I think that's the type of player that Oliver is.
Yeah, but he's just a guy.
He's a third down back.
He's a number two back at best. Catch. And that's why they're going to address this in the draft. That's why I'm not really sure what to think of him at this point in time, because running back is a spot.
He's got a spot in the league.
I don't think this was a guy. He's a number two guy.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that. No. You know, you can I think he's a solid player.
Let's move on to the receiving core year. Keenan Allen disappointed a lot of people in his second season. Not that he was awful and it picked it up, but it certainly fell off from what he did as a rookie. Missed the final two games with a broken collarbone of the ankle. 14 games, 77, 783, 4 touchdowns, just 10.2 yards per catch on 120 targets, 64.2% catch rate, 12.8 fantasy points per game, 30th at the position. Obviously, a drop-off there. Averaged 91% of the snaps. Caught six balls or more. Six more balls he caught from the year before, but 263 fewer yards, four fewer touchdowns, and 2.1 fewer fantasy points per game. Good size, we know that. But this is my point when I was talking about I thought he was a little overrated coming into the 2014 season. He's a nice player. He's not a great player. He's not a special talent.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. He's
doesn't
not
jump
that
off
dynamic,
the page.
Not that dynamic athlete that you really want to get your hands on. He was going, what, third round last year?
Third round. Yeah. I mean, he failed to hit double-digit fantasy points 7 times. At wide receiver, you can't be that guy.
Can't be a third-round pick and do that.
Right.
And I think Keenan Allen is going to be going at a much more palatable spot this year.
He might be an undervalued.
And by the way, yeah, as you said, this is a guy who caught 77 passes. It's not like he was a scrub. He just...
As the number one guy on his team at wide receiver, you can make the argument with Gates. You can't fail to hit double-digit fantasy points 7 times. You can't do that. And, you know, how much of it then? And let me bring this question up here because we got a question on Twitter about this from James. What Keenan Allen are we going to get? Rookie Keenan or mediocre sophomore year Keenan? So I think what he's saying I know what he's getting at. How much do you think that the rookie season had to do with Malcolm Floyd going down, Denari Alexander going down, and all of a sudden, oh crap, we need to play Keenan Allen and Vincent Brown stunk? How much do you put into that and go, well, look at all the targets he got. Credit to him for stepping up into that role, playing a little banged up. He had knee and shoulder issues in his rookie season. How much was it that, and then you go to year two, and then he's not surprising anybody anymore?
He still had a ton of targets, though, 120 targets. I mean, he just...
But that's my point. The targets were there again, but now it's year two, and now you're not...
Really, I think he was a little banged up.
You're not surprising anybody, though.
He wasn't explosive with the ball at all. I mean, yeah.
But defense is new about him now.
Defense were focusing on him. He's just a above-average guy, and... I don't really think it was about the crew around him in his rookie season that really changed anything.
Well, I was saying the fact that he had to step up into that role and get all those targets and then got them all again last year, and then, you know, now we know he's the man
I think it's reasonable to expect, assuming Rivers is here, and that's the assumption we have to work with at this point, obviously. I think it's reasonable to expect sort of an in-between type of season.
He's an 80-catch guy. He's 6-7 touchdowns.
He seems like a guy to me that would benefit if you got an upgrade at receiving.
He's not a true number one.
He can have one of those years where maybe he gets 8-10 touchdowns and he has a really, really, really good fantasy year. I think he's the type of guy who can slip through some coverage. He's not going to go up and fight you for a jump ball.
No.
He can slip through some coverage.
He could be an 85 catch guy every year. I think think he could be that kind of guy.
He caught 77 last year in 14 games, and he was banged up.
I totally think he could be a nice PPR guy. You get him as a mid-range two, you're happy to have him. I don't think he's going to win you weeks.
I wouldn't be shocked if the Chargers use a first or a second round pick to try to get that number one receiver. You can move Keenan to that number two, where he's probably more suited to be.
Floyd's nice. He's a guy.
He's 34 years old.
He doesn't fit this offense like he did a couple of years ago when it was more of a downfield offense.
He should be a situational deep threat guy.
And they got it a lot out of Eddie Royal. Now he is gone. Now they have signed Stevie Johnson to take that role, and I think that's exactly the role he'll fit into. He could be a 65 catch guy. I don't think he's going to be outstanding, but you know what he is for this team. And then a tight end. Gates continues to roll right along. Number three tight end last year, 13.9 fantasy points per game. Did have some up and down games, and 12 touchdowns what carried him to that ranking.
He looks like he's moving in slow mo.
Because he's got the rapport, and they don't have a lot there. And remember, with the running back situation, this is who you wanted in the red zone.
He looks like he's about 40 pounds heavier than he was about 10 years ago.
He knows the nuances of the position. Yep. He's not a guy that's going to run by anymore. But the guy I think people were hoping would do more, would run by you, is Ladarius Green. And we got a question on him from Johnny on Twitter. He said, I'm all in on Ladarius Green. Held him for 2 years now. I think he's a special talent. What do you guys think?
All in?
Yeah, well, what's all in mean?
Like, I mean, are you down to your last, like, three chips, and you had to go all in with whatever hand you had?
I mean, my thought is, I guess, is just that he's sticking with him at this point. He's been with him for the last 2 years. A couple of years ago, he flashed. Last year, I thought...
I guess if it's not hurting you
to hold on to him, then just keep holding. I mean, Antonio Gates turns 35 in June.
That's right. They have to look forward, but... Is Green the answer? Because I thought he was completely overrated going into last year.
He hasn't been able to even get on the field.
31% of the snaps last year. That tells all I need to know.
That's actually more than I thought he played based on his numbers. He caught only 19 passes.
And like we said, this offensive line kind of stinks. You know, if the kid isn't going to block, he's not going to get on the field. They're not going to put a tight end on the field that isn't blocking. Antonio Gates is, you know, he's an underrated blocker, you know, for as good as he's been as a receiver. Gates has been a good blocker,
They too. Do it when Orlando Franklin on a pretty big contract. But
these guys at tight end, the light can go on like that. And it happened with Julius Thomas a couple years ago, and it took some favorable circumstances. Well, playing with Phillip Rivers is a favorable circumstance for a young player.
We wouldn't be shocked if...
And remember,
there's a lot with trust with Rivers.
Yes.
And... Antonio Gates is in the right place at the right time. Ladarius Green is not. That's the bottom line.
And I don't know, with this offense the way it is downfield, which is really all he's been, they don't do a lot of that.
And I got to be honest, I have no freaking clue where to draft Ladarius Green.
I wouldn't draft him. I don't see a need to draft
Gates
him.
Gates is the bigger question. I don't know where to draft him.
I don't know where to draft either. Because
I thought he's going to be... This is the year he's going to slow down.
Two years ago, we thought that was it.
Last year, I'm like, he's going to slow down this year. Number three tight end.
Okay, guys. Let's go to our MFL 10 data. So far, Antonio Gates, pick 106 of roundabouts.
That's fair.
That's a late ninth round pick. Ninth tight end off the board.
That's fair.
You look at the names he's going around, and it makes sense. After Jordan Cameron and after Zach Ertz, younger guys, well, Cameron, obviously, he's going to Miami, but he's had concussion issues. Ertz is a guy who's at least shown a lot more than Ladarius Green has shown. He's ahead of Dwayne Allen, Delanie Walker, and Safarian Jenkins. I don't know if you can argue with any of those. I mean, I'd take him over those guys. Ladarius Green, pick 188.
Warranted.
28th tight end off the board.
Sure, that's what he should be.
I think that's fair there.
Yep.
And I think that's a good one. If I can draft three, especially in this MFL 10
format. In that format, yeah. That's,
if I can draft three but tight ends.
In that format, yeah. Otherwise, I'm not taking them. No. Drafted. There's no reason. You don't have to take that chance.
You don't need
reason
to draft the tight end that's playing 30% of the snaps.
If you're in a deep league, dynasty league, you want to hold on to him, by all means.
Well,
the guy's got talent.
As we look at the draft here for these guys now, O-line is certainly an issue. The secondary is an issue. I mean, I think impact players on defense in general is something that the Chargers might just be best player available. Who can we get that can help impact? And running back, as you guys talked about earlier. And do they look at receiver? I mean, this is what gets back. That's why I wanted to go over, everybody. There are enough key issues here for this team looking down the road, that's why I get why you might go, well, listen on Rivers, because I think they're a nice team, but they're a big injury or two away from being a four-win team. I don't think they're all that good. I think Rivers covers up a lot of issues for them.
But why,
and how
that's
far...
That's what's the thinking, though. Why do you want to get rid of the guy that's getting you a couple extra wins every year?
But getting you to nine. Not. I mean, are they a legit contender at nine, or... You know,
they've been right in that playoff.
They haven't done anything. That window is closed. The window is shut on the Chargers right now. They're not going anywhere with this team. They won a playoff.
I disagree.
Okay,
Philip Rivers on the field, and that's why
they haven't gone anywhere. It hasn't happened.
I'm
still waiting for it.
Why do you want to move this guy? I just don't get it.
I don't think that's a good enough team around him.
I think there's some holes.
I know there's holes, but why would you want to move a guy that's lifting this team up?
I can see it from both perspectives, because you're right. I think they stink without Rivers.
Yeah.
They totally
But they're a 9-win team with Rivers. They haven't been that good the last couple years. That's the problem.
Yeah, it's tough.
What is their ceiling?
I can see it from both perspectives. But you only trade them if you can get...
We agree on that. You have to get bowled over for a guy like that.
By the way, I think the only... People are trying to connect the dots here. Some talk about Rivers. Maybe Rivers doesn't want to move to L.A. if they move to L.A. He loves San Diego. He's in the last year of his contract. You can add up, like, some of these items. the Mariota work. The one thing that is tangible is Mariota is working out for the San Diego Chargers.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And that is tangible. So you can say, look, Mariota could be working out for anybody. It's a draft class, but he's not going to Green Bay to work out for Green Bay.
Right.
He's not going to Denver and working out for the Broncos. You know, he's not going to Carolina and working out for the Panthers. He's working out for the Chargers. That is something tangible.
And I would say this. If you're going to do it, you have a plan in place to go get that next guy. Mariota, if that you think that's the guy, okay. But you better have that plan in place for the next guy for your fan base.
Yeah, my thing is, you have a guy like that, you don't let him go. The Bills, the Jets, they would kill to have a player like that.
But
you don't let a player like that leave.
It does get back to the contract
irony
situation.
Being the Bills are probably, if you isolate one team in the NFL, the Buffalo Bills, I will flat out say this, are a Super Bowl contender.
They would jump to the top five right now.
But they are not a team because of the Sammy Watkins trade that can get it. Just imagine if the Buffalo Bills had held, and I love Sammy Watkins, but just imagine if they had held on to that pick.
Just take Odell.
Drafted Odell Beckham.
And don't forget, they used the first round pick on E.J. Manuel 2 years before that.
If you were to tell me right now the Buffalo Bills held on to their draft pick, which would be number 19, and you were to tell me that, they have Odell Beckham, or even effing Eric Ebron, even you miss on that pick.
Well, that was the thought they were going
to
get.
They hold on to that first round pick. And you were to tell me the Buffalo Bills want to trade that pick for Philip Rivers, I'd be all in with it right now.
Because that's a team that all could do it right now with him. So we don't think he's going anywhere. Got to get bowled over if it's going to happen. Doesn't sound like it's going to happen, but we discussed it for a reason because there are enough issues going on there with San Diego outside of Rivers. And the move, that's not even fantasy stuff. That's business stuff when it gets down to it. So certainly going to be an interesting draft for the Chargers. Won't be a boring one, we wouldn't think. And
would love Todd Gurley to go there. That would be nice. Let's do
for
that
fantasy.
Yes.
That'd be freaking phenomenal. Be great. I'm curious to see if they do that because I think you isolate the teams in the first round where Gurley might go, and I think this is a spot where you're like Gurley could go here. 17. I don't know if there's a team that makes better sense in terms of a team having a need and the right spot.
I mean, the only possible would be maybe Dallas. That would be the extreme best case
and
scenario.
Also, I think Gurley goes before Dallas.
Yeah, that's
Dallas
what
Dallas
I don't
trade
think
up,
he gets there.
I suppose.
But if, after Dallas, I think San Diego might be the next best situation.
Here's the question. Is the organization far enough removed from the Ryan Matthews pick
that they don't want to do another first
round?
And
not saying Matthews is a bad player, but they invested a lot of resources into him.
If they're going to draft scared, then they deserve to lose because you can't think that way. Yeah. It's different players. Different players, different injuries.
But
you can't think that way.
The other thing I'm bringing up is, do they like a guy like, all right, we could get J.J. in the second round.
Well, that's fine. Yeah. If they want to do that, that's a different story. But if they're going to go, Matthews and it burned, you can't think that way.
By the way, this is one of the teams, assuming things stay constant with Rivers, and as we said, at this point, the argument can be made, have to assume Rivers is playing for San Diego next year. This is going to be a team you could argue is going to have the highest drafted rookie running back. It could be Gurley. Maybe they like Gordon. Who knows? Maybe they surprise you there. But the Chargers are a team that seems to fit the bill of having a rookie running back who could come in and contribute immediately.
Because they're in a spot in the draft order where it would make sense. And because it may be their biggest need on – I mean, it's their biggest need on offense. There's no doubt about that. Yeah. So certainly going to be very interesting for the Chargers heading into the 2015 draft. We appreciate the questions that we just got on this one from James and from Johnny. We appreciate that. If you want to get your questions in after you've heard this, send us them to us for future podcasts, for reaction to these podcasts, hashtag franchise focus, and tweet them to us at the Matt Camp, at FG_Dolan, at FG_Brawley, at Fantasy Guru Site. And we tell you once again that MLB season is in full swing, so get on FanDuel.com. Entry fees start at just $1. You can play today to win and win tonight. You don't have to wait all season long. There's none of that season-long commitment. And Tom, as we know, you know, could be a rough first week for some people in the season-long leagues, and you're going, come on, this stinks. What a terrible start. And where you go, well, it's a grind. I need something to kind of supplement it and make things interesting. That's why you have FanDuel.
Oh, my NL Roto team is off to a brutally slow start here. So, if I do FanDuel, you get to change your lineups. I'm stuck with my lineup right now, so might as well do some daily stuff.
You could fire something up good. And I'll tell you what, Richard from Staten Island, that's exactly what he did on opening day. He won over $5,300 on opening day alone. and the FanDuel is paying out more than $2.5 million every single day this MLB season. But you have to play to win, so sign up today. Go to FanDuel.com and click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Use our code GURU and sign up now. Special offer for new users: for every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of up to $200. Offer's only good for the first 50 people that use our code GURU. Don't forget to use our code GURU. FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. That's FanDuel.com, FanDuel.com. Sign up today. And as we said, we're hitting all 32 teams in these franchise-focused podcasts before the start of the NFL draft. And we have the pre-draft rookie report. We have the pre-draft podcast of John Hansen and Craig Hossell. They also gave you last week the post-free agency podcast, statistical analysis articles, all kinds of stuff going up right now. So no off-season for us as we keep it moving. And if you got on the site today, you can get the early bird special. Runs only for a couple more weeks through the end of April, $24.95. That's $5 off the regular price. So get in on that right now. For Joe Dolan and Tom Brawley, I'm Matt Camp. Thanks for being with us on another edition of the Franchise Focus Podcast here at FantasyGuru.com.
And now go Chargers, go!